Hey, be careful what you say now.
You know, my son just keeps telling me because I have an Alexa, and he's like, Mom, they record everything you say. And I'm like, but Robbie, honey, I don't say anything. It's me and a cat. And now they're going to hear me talking to my phone.
Well, and who's going to remember that anyway?
I know. That's okay. Come here, baby.
Okay, well, we're getting there.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hello, Paula.
Morning, John.
Good morning, Jerry.
DJ, Larry. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Rhonda, Lewis, Russell. I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to give everybody a couple more minutes because I want to start with a bit of a meditation.
So, John, do you know where we're moving to?
No, we're still up in the air. They're still juggling.
Okay.
So it's hard to tell when our last Sunday is going to be, right?
Right. I think we can stay here.
In the sanctuary?
Yeah, just the sanctuary. I don't know where we'll meet.
Well, the other, you know, if I don't want to say if worse comes to worse, but if we don't have any other place to go, we could have our we wouldn't be able to do it in person, but we could do our Zoom in that little room off the sanctuary. You know, it used to be a little meditation room. So there's probably not room enough for a whole bunch of people in there, but at least we could do the Zoom from there if we needed to. That's something to keep in mind.
What about the men's group on Saturday?
Hi, Sangi.
Hi, morning.
Where do you do your Tuesday night Zoom from?
Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday night always comes from my home, so you don't have to worry about that one.
Well, I watch the recordings, but I'm interested in maybe you could just do the Tuesday. If nothing else, you could do
you're right about that. I could do that from home.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't make church.
Pardon me?
Church.
Yeah.
You could do that at a different time.
Anyway, we've got some options. Okay, we're not going to leave you orphans.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're more than welcome.
Don't abandon us.
No, you will not. I will never leave you alone.
Okay.
Or forsake us.
Well, those are really interesting words that Jesus spoke. I will never leave you alone. On one level, it means I'll always be with you. But on another level is I'm going to keep poking you and prodding you until you move your ass. Right? I will never leave you alone. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Okay, I think it's time to welcome everybody. I'm going to put you on mute. You can change that if you will, but I wanted to do a little bit of a meditation as we began this morning. So if we could all just take a minute. You're going to put your coffee cups down. Just get grounded and centered for a moment or so. And to simply hear these words and the message behind these words. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. The coffee cup you're holding, the sweat clothes you have on, the face looking back at you in the mirror, the pictures on your wall, the leaves on your lawn, behold, I make all things new. And so a big part of our lesson this morning, from my understanding, is to be able to continue to detach ourselves from our identification with the past. The past is not who I am, nor does it define who I am in this moment. Now, if I'm on default mode and not thinking about it or not very conscious of it, that's just what I'm gonna fall back into. Oh, that's that old shirt, that old jacket, blah, 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 blah. And again, we're not using that as a judgment so much, but as a realization that you are not your past. You are not controlled by your past. You are not governed by your past. So kind of keep that in mind as we walk through this morning. One of our purposes is to detach ourselves from identifying with who we thought we were. And if you think that's easy, it's not, right? Because look, I mean, we do that even here and now. We come walking into this particular room, we say, oh, here I am in the chapel at Unity, or here I am sitting down in my sunroom, you know, doing some reading about the Book of Mastery, and on, whatever might happen to be. And practically everything we do is associated with our definition of who we were yesterday or who we were 5 minutes from now. So wonder what it would be like to realize that you're different from the person who walked into this room. And that creates a huge open space, which is tremendously threatening and somewhat fearful to our little ego consciousness. So just be aware of that. This is not an easy part of the trip. And you don't have to rip it off like an old Band-Aid. Again, that's what our small self seems to be telling. This is going to be really painful. No, it isn't. It's not painful to live in the present moment. But the present moment is not attached to the past. Okay. Yeah, Sangi.
I mean, if there's a non-linear, then couldn't something from the past be part of the present if it's called to teach us a lesson?
That's a really good question. The question is, couldn't some things that were in the past, couldn't they be part of the present? And I guess that only we can decide that for ourselves. Well, I'm thinking of just us right now. We pick up this book, okay? Now, the first thing my mind does is not live in the present moment with this book, but kind of go back, what did we talk about last week? You know, and if you're like me, I don't remember. Which is another thing that's kind of funny, okay? Here I am attached to a past that I don't even remember. So what did we talk about? Because I have to do that when I'm preparing the lesson or going through it. I don't study and say, well, I'm going to talk about this, talk about that. What I usually do is I plug in the reflection that we sent out and get a sense of what we talked about last week and how we talked about it and what we're opening ourselves up to now. Sometimes the past will show up, and again, this is just simply my reflection, as something that I haven't finished yet. And again, that's not a bad thing. We grieve, we release, we let go, we surrender, we become aware, pretty much in layers. And so that there are going to be some things in our lives that we're not going to be necessarily finished with until they stop showing up. How do I know I'm finished? Well, it's not there anymore. Or a way I have to looking at it, this incident in my life or this reflection that I'm thinking about or this idea that I'm coming to, it no longer has any, it's still there, but doesn't have a whole lot of juice to it. So let me give you, for instance, something I had to work on finishing. I recalled an incident when I was a little kid. I was probably about 4 or 5 years old. And I was at Sunday church, Sunday mass with my mother and my father. I was the only child. And for some reason, I was more squirmy than usual. And my dad got really annoyed at me and started taking me outside. And then in the back of my mind, I said, oh, good, I'm going outside. I was getting so bored in there. And then I realized he was holding on to me really tight. And so he was pissed. I went, this is not good. Right? And so I got a couple of whacks on the behind. And then was brought back into church again. And I was a lot quieter than I was before. For a long time, whenever I had that memory, and I didn't dig it up on purpose, but occasionally it would pop into my head, I would feel this anger and resentment and this unfairness of that. Because I knew a lot of his anger came from being hungover. It didn't have anything to do with me. And so I really had to work with that one and work with it and work with it until one day the memory came back and it was just a memory. There wasn't any emotional charge to it anymore. It was just there. It was saying, I wish that hadn't happened. It would have enhanced our relationship a lot better if that hadn't happened, but it did. And it no longer has an emotional charge for me. It's done. But there are going to be some things that are going to probably come up into our lives, into our memory, into our understanding, into our awareness that we know we're not finished with yet. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not a bad thing. It just happens to be, well, you know, it taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, you know, you got a little bit more letting go of this one, a little bit more awareness, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more work on transformation on this. That's just the way it is. The way AA literature puts it, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Which sometimes, in some ways says it, you know, letting go of the past is an ongoing process. You know, just say, okay, well, I'm done with that. Well, that's what we're on page 104. So the lesson is we're letting go of the past. Okay, I'm done with that. Really?
Mm-hmm. Jerry?
Yeah.
For me, the past is a part of who I am. And today, I'm learning to I separated the past, the bad things. And today I'm learning to make my past a part of me, not denying it, but accepting it and making it a part of who I am because it's a part of my journey. And it was there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there for something for me to learn. And then I can move on.
I think what we're going to be learning here this morning is something around that, Diane. Mm-hmm. But also asking ourselves the question is, how can I make this sacred? Whether it's a memory or an idea or a past experience or the paint on the wall or the dirty dishes in the sink, whatever it happens, how can I make this sacred? How can I make this holy? I can let it be my teacher, because it's going to be. But then I, on a deeper level of awareness, it's how can I make this sacred? How can I make this holy? Because that's really what it's asking for, whether it's a memory or a thought or an idea. So let's start on page 104. And if you don't have a book, that's okay. We're going to read it out loud anyway. Just take it in. As we continue, we will agree with you about many things. And what an agreement is a going into an alignment with what is before one. In other words, I'm not just thinking about it. I am connected to the energy field of whatever is being produced here. I align myself. The example that I've used quite often is somebody says, I love you. You say, well, that's nice. You can take that in as a thought, as an idea. But what you can also do if you choose to do this is you can align yourself to the love that is coming to you from that other person. In other words, you make it into an experience rather than a thought. So when you align yourself to something, you are immersed in an experience rather than just a thought or an idea. And they use that vocabulary quite often. So it might be something to keep in mind. Am I aligned with this, or am I just kind of stuck on an idea or a thought? There are many things we agree with and are in alignment with that will be of great benefit to you. The landscape that you exist in many ways as your teacher, the life you live as your teacher, shows you what you have agreed to thus far. In other words, we've created this part of the trip. We've manifested our teachers. The paint on the walls, yes. The pots on the stove, the husband or the wife beside you, the child at school, the man you know as your friend or your enemy. These are all ways of knowing the self in this incarnation, in this physical realm. The need you have now is to justify the passage that you are engaging in. If I have only known myself in this realm, how do I choose it in a new way? I see the kitchen. I count on it to cook my food. I know where I put the pots and pans, yes. So what? The illustration we are giving you about what you have agreed with simply means this is where you stand now, and the desire for more within the true self, the echo of the divine within you who seeks to realize yourself in new ways, is being brought forward so that the transformation can commence. Now, simply using this image of a kitchen is just a part of the material world. Perhaps what I would consider to be a better example of that would be our clothes closet. Okay. We all have a clothes closet. We all have stuff in there we haven't worn in years. Okay. But we're still kind of, you know, those are my bell bottoms from the 60s. Okay. I can't really get rid of those. Right? It's a relic. So we've got stuff that we're still, even without thinking about it, that we're still very much attached to for no particular reason at all, except that it's a memory, right? We have other stuff in our clothes closet that is so good and so nice and so precious that we're saving it for something special, which is also friggin' ridiculous. But we don't think it's funny. That shirt or that blouse or that top or that pair of shoes or that purse or that jacket or whatever is so wonderful. And I have to save it for a special occasion. And then we have our everyday stuff that I don't particularly care about, but is, you know, is still important in some ways. So let's suppose our life is sort of like having a clothes closet. We've got those things that we just use every day without even thinking of identifying with them, but we do because we put them on. We have some things that are too important to put on an everyday basis. So I wait until a special time or a special occurrence shows up. And, you know, sometimes that never happens. It's just gathering dust in there. And then there are other things that I'm really connected with for some, let's say, reason in the past that they have a whole bunch of memories connected with them, or they have, they're precious to me in some ways that, that even though I might not be using them, I don't want to get rid of them. And there could be many, many other layers of reasons why I have stuff in my particular closet. Now, what this is suggesting is, we're not suggesting you burn down your clothes closet. Okay. Or you take everything and take it to Goodwill. Right. But to recognize, just begin to recognize, what is my attachment here? Or what can this teach me? Or what would it be like if I put on this special shirt or this special dress or this special pair of shoes and just walked around the house, just put it on just for the hell of it, and made this moment into a special occasion? I wonder what that would be like. And I wonder what it would be like if I could just take all of this stuff, for whatever reason that I still have it, and make it into something precious, make it into something sacred. If I have only known myself in this realm, how do I know myself in a new way? We see our clothes closet. I count on it to be there. It's got my stuff. I've agreed to all of this stuff because it's still here. The stuff that I use and the stuff that I don't. I've agreed to it being there because it's still there. How do I know I've agreed to it? It's still in my closet. I haven't thrown it away yet, or I haven't given it away yet. But I also have within me the true self, the echo of the divine within me that wants to realize myself in new ways. I might have a perfectly good coat in my closet. It might be perfectly fine, but it doesn't suit me anymore. Still fits. I mean, a great gift and goodwill. But the colors don't suit me anymore. My hair's kind of gone from gold to gray, right? And that color doesn't match me anymore. I'm no longer aligned to that one. It's not a bad thing. It just doesn't suit me anymore. Or we might find out that, you know, that we at one point in our lives we were really drawn to earth tones, fall colors. And then we find out, you know, a little bit later on in life or some other time we're much more attached or much more attracted to springtime and early summer colors. To blues and whites and sky colors. Again, none of that is a judgment. It's just a realization. We would like you now to see the room before you. And maybe again, we could use this, if it's okay with you, I'm gonna change the words a little bit to keep with our clothes closet analogy. We would like you to see the clothes closet before you, the one that you have in your own home, and agree that everything that you choose, you see before you, has served a purpose, one purpose of some kind that you chose to know yourself with. Because everything we wear, everything we buy, we associate with something part of our aspect of ourselves. It might be just, I bought that because it looks cool. Or look, it looked cool 20 years ago. Okay, maybe it doesn't look cool right now. But that might be one of the reasons. And I might look and say, well, Jesus, it's very uncool now. Doesn't make it bad, just doesn't fit anymore. As you look at these things, imagine yourself as agreeing to all of them and giving a nod to all of these things. Yes, I remember when I bought that top. Yes, I remember those shoes. Oh, that shirt. I forgot all about that one. I didn't even know I had that anymore. But understand yourself as agreeing with your prior creations. In other words, I have them, but they are not who I am. I have them, but they are not who I am. Now decide, if you wish, that everything you see before you is going to change, will change, will be transformed by the echo of consciousness you hold in your field. Everything you see before you in manifestation is temporary to the life you live in. I mean, we really, really realize that when we walk through our clothes closet. Everything you see before you in manifestation is temporary to the life you live in, the decade you exist in, or the century or the millennium, but it will always be changeable and changed. So what I love to put on today, I might not appreciate too much tomorrow. In fact, it might have lost its meaning. I might say, well, I wonder why I'm still holding on to that. I know one of the things I've got in my clothes closet is I've got my old wizard's costume from Halloween years ago. I got to hold on to that. Right? You can bury me in that one, okay? But what was so wonderful was I've got a picture on my wall because a couple of years ago, Finn, my grandson Finn, decided to go Halloween as Harry Potter. So guess who had to be Professor Dumbledore?
Well, of course.
All right. And who had a costume already.
Oh, cool.
I didn't have to go out and buy one, didn't have to rent one. It was right in my closet, okay? That's it. And it's still in my closet, right? So maybe one of my great-grandkids is going to be Harry Potter one of these days. I'm going to say, I've got the perfect costume to be Halloween with. I don't know that for sure, but still there.
Did you have a beard too?
I had long hair and a beard. Okay, I had the works. At that particular time, I didn't have the long hair and the beard in person, so I had to get a long white beard and hair down to my shoulders. But I made a great Professor Dumbledore, believe me.
Oh, I bet. Jerry?
Yeah.
Can we go back to page 104, the very bottom? I don't know if we skipped it or not, but it says the illustration we are giving you about what you have agreed with simply means this is where you stand now, and the desire for more within the true self, the echo of the divine within you who seeks to realize herself in a new way, is being brought forward so that the transformation can commence. Now, I really relate to that because it wasn't closed for me that I would, you know, hold memories with. It was abuse. And the divine within me seeks to realize herself in new ways. That's exactly what happens. I wanted to let go of the guilt, the shame, mm-hmm. and not be in bondage. And the divine was trying to teach me how to realize myself in a new way.
I can see myself differently, right?
Right.
Rather than being a victim.
And that's how I got, and that's how I was able to move on so that transformation can commence. And I no longer look at that the same way.
Sure.
And that was my new, that was my freeing, that was my truth. And now today, I don't even want to use the word abuse.
Okay, you good.
Today, I can just move on and commence to be and live for my divine self.
Good for you. Perfect. Thanks, Diane. Thanks for sharing mm-hmm. that. Here we go. Here's an echo of what Diane was talking about. On this day, I choose to know myself as the infinite spirit. On this day, I choose to align myself to my true knowing of my true nature. And as I do this, I align every aspect of my life to align to me as a reflection of this. And the room I sit in, the landscape I see before me, will now become a reflection of who I truly am. And the choices that I will make will be to align this room, this landscape, this life that I exist in, into an agreement with my divine nature. And with means in consort with, in alignment with, not just an idea, not just a thought, but aligning myself to the energy of that truth. And as I choose this, I give deep thanks for the heritage I hold, my dispensation of choice, and my alignment to the Christ itself, who may say, yes, I am here. I claim this in authority as I know my divine birthright. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. We'll come back to that again as we close up this morning and use that as part of our meditation. But just get a sense of all of that. Beyond, goes beyond feelings and emotions, goes beyond thought. I align myself and I allow myself to be aligned to my true nature. I have many, many things, old ideas, past, in the material world, as well as the emotional world. And I know they do not disappear necessarily just because I'm doing this work, or even just because I would like them to disappear. But their hold on me, my old definitions of self, their hold on me is being dispersed, lessened, lightened up, so that I can know myself in a more true way than I could before. And of course, the piece of hidden agenda here is, as I see myself in a new way, I see you in a new way as well. So for instance, I hope you don't mind me using this as an example, Diane, but I'm not trying to read your mail, so if this is not true for you, let me know. But in the work you did in the abuse issues, sometimes we can come to see the abuser as being someone who is in horrible pain as well. Mm-hmm. And has no, at least consciously, has no other way of assuaging that pain except by taking it out on somebody else. It's not becoming a doormat, right? But it's recognizing that. I see you differently. I see you differently because I see me differently. Does that fit okay, Diane? I hope I don't...
Sure does.
Okay.
Sure does.
Thanks for that.
But I wanted to say one thing, was that I was only able to see this differently when, I think I shared with you all, God took us to the light.
Yeah.
Myself and my abuser. And he opened the abuser's book so that he could see what he had done in his life. It wasn't a part of me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my stuff.
Yeah. And see, that's such a powerful awakening is, you know, we can talk about being a victim or being even being a survivor, but it's more like saying that wasn't about me at all. Huh. I thought it was. You know, because I was living in my kind of limited personality self, but it wasn't about me at all.
Mm-hmm. And in the end, I was able to be sympathetic and empathetic, and also felt compassion for that person.
Yeah. See, that's a huge, huge leap in consciousness. It's like the story about the two Buddhist monks who were talking to one another after escaping to India from China. And one monk asked the other one, can you ever forgive the Chinese for the torture they've done to you and your family? He said, oh no, I can never forgive them. And the other monk replied, well, then they still have you captive. Yes, 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 yes. There's only about three or four times in all of these books so far that they say something five times in a row. Somewhat, not, and sometimes they'll say things three times in a row, which are a way of catching your attention. Five times in a row is kind of like, you get it? You get it? Hello? Anybody up there? Hello? Yes, 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 yes. And the yes we speak is the agreement to each one of you who took the step now to transform her world, to agree to the world that may be brought to bear in her own lifetime, in her own wisdom, as she sees herself in her true nature. There's a wonderful line from, I believe it's from the poet William Blake, that talks about bearing the beams of love, as describing that as our purpose in life. Bearing the beams of love. Sometimes it's a real stretch to love when we don't want to. To allow ourselves to be loved unconditionally. I'm still working on that one. Might be working on that one for more than one lifetime. But, you know, I can do that intellectually. Oh, yeah, I know I'm unconditionally loved. But to truly let that happen. It's always in the back, but. Mm-hmm. You got one of those buts in your mind? But.
I don't think you can.
And then I'm asked to be gentle with that, not to beat the shit out of that voice. That's not the, well, I know what I'll do. I'll beat that into submission until I don't hear it anymore. That's not it. That part of me or that aspect of me that is finding it so difficult to bear the beams of love. What I need to do is be able to love it and embrace it and hold it like I would a scared little three-year-old and say, it's going to be okay, because it is. We understand you each as having individual needs. Things that you need to attend to in your lives. And we wish to give you some tools to begin to address the changes that you would like to see. We can't do this for you. The first step for any change is to see what is there, your perception of it. Because it's always my perception. I always say, well, that's it. That's my perception of it. And that's okay. That's what they're getting at. First step for any change is to see what is there, my perception of it, to realize that for whatever reason, you are party to its presence in its current form. It's my stuff. Don't particularly like it. Don't particularly care about it. Don't know how I'm going to transform it, but there it is. Whatever tragedy you may be facing, or challenge, or difficulty, you are aligned to it, and consequently, it is in agreement with you as the woman you are, as the man you are, as a conscious being. I know we've approached this territory before and probably will again. Is that whatever shows up in my life, whether that's in my head or in my material world, whatever shows up in my life is something that I have chosen to learn from. I have, in some ways, created my perception of that. I haven't done it because I'm a bad person. I haven't done it because karma is biting me on the behind. Right? I've done it because it's part of this lifetime of choice that I've made, and that I have already set an agenda for myself of certain things that are going to maybe sometimes continue to show up in my life that I'm going to need to learn something from. So sometimes that will be sort of a gentle tap on the shoulder. But if I don't hear the gentle tap on the shoulder, it might be a little punch on the arm. And if I don't pay attention to the punch in the arm, sometimes it's going to be a 2x4 that whacks me across the head. So not only have I created this thing to learn from, I've also created the energy behind how I begin to recognize it in my life. So when the Course in Miracles says, you know, right now you know how to learn through pain, there will come a time when you learn how to learn from joy.
Hmm.
And I'm beginning to realize there are some things that I've learned through joy fairly recently in my life. I don't have to get hit over the head by a 2x4. There are still some things that I do. But it's really kind of interesting to know when we were on this path, there are going to be some moments, and there are going to be some joyful moments that have no particular reason for being there. You're just touched by joy.
Mm-hmm.
I find that happen, I wouldn't say fairly often, but often enough. Because my mind immediately wants to go, why am I feeling that? I didn't do anything to deserve that. You know, you just get that sense of peacefulness or joyfulness just almost all the way through your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a gift. It's a reminder of the state of consciousness I could be in all the time. But I'm not, because I forget. It's not a bad thing. It's just an awareness.
Jerry?
Yeah.
So in some ways, we're talking about a process. Excuse me. And so I want to kind of tie some of this together. Let's go back to letting go of some things out of our closet. And I'm thinking about a process that my wife Gina and I have been going through for the last year or so. Part of this started when our whole kitchen got destroyed and we had to replace it. We had to let go of a lot of things. We've also been letting go of things out of our closets, and it seems like at least once a month we're going to Goodwill or we're letting things go, and everything involves emotions. You know, everything has an emotion attached to it. We wore things to different places, to weddings, to different, you know, everything has emotions attached to it. We are sending things to our children. My wife has been sending huge boxes full of pots and pans and other things that have been with us for years and years. All this clothing, but every time we do this, I feel lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens space inside me. It opens space. And I think that is helpful. I think that is great. It seems to open space inside her. Mm-hmm. One of the things that struck me this week is that for years she's been saying, a number of years ago, we put together, you know, the living will and that this kind of stuff. And one of the things that in our final testament kinds of stuff, she had put down that she wanted her jewelry to go to one of our daughters. And this week she said, you know what? I want to go down and give this stuff to her personally. And I thought, wow, get rid of that, not get rid of it, but give the gift of these jewels now. And she's got a lot of jewels that she's collected over the years. And so, you know, this is what grace, what a gift. But the other thing that I want to put into this is something I heard a talk this week that I think ties into something that you and Jack shared with us years ago. You talked about how emotion can block spiritual growth. And you talked about, and this was when we were studying the Holy Spirit's interpretation mm-hmm. of the New Testament, and how, you know, one of the things that we might choose to do is to just let the emotion overwhelm us, and just choose to let that emotion overwhelm us until it just overwhelms us to the point where it fades away. And I've done that a number of times. And once it fades away, it then I have the ability to move on. Mm-hmm. And that has been very helpful from time to time, where I, you know, it has kept me, the emotion has kept me from making choices. And yet if I will sit in peace and quiet and just let it have its way and just overwhelm me, then I can move on.
That's perfect.
It is.
And so there has been, and in this talk, this woman talked about how there are times we forgive someone, and this, and choosing to forgive this person has been a trial. And there are times we forgive someone, but then we still feel bad about this person. We don't want to be around them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. So it's as though the emotion is still there, and so it just hasn't caught up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel the pain.
Right.
And so she said, you know, just ask God, you know, just basically say, God, you know, help me to get rid of the emotion. And her suggestion was that we do something for this person, even though we don't want to. And she gave some examples of, and they were simple examples. And I realized that I have had times when I prayed to forgive someone, I had forgiven them. But then when I did something for them, all my bad feelings for them had gone away. And it was in the doing of something. And that's happened with a couple of my neighbors, where I don't like the way they did this, and I don't like the way they did that. But when I had done something for them to kind of help them, oh, you know what? They're just people. And they may make choices I don't like. But anyway, so all this stuff kind of came up with me right now. And I just said, you know, Holy Spirit, should I share this? I kind of got the answer. Yeah.
So, yeah, you did. Thank you, John.
Yep.
You know, and the doing for others sometimes is prayer. Doesn't have to happen in the physical world. Mm-hmm. I don't have to shovel their path or do this or do that. I mean, I might be drawn to do that, but sometimes praying for somebody, and you'll notice that praying for somebody changes the whole energy of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just like doing something in the physical world.
Yeah.
And what John is talking about, I believe, in terms of feelings, is that feelings show up sometimes because you need to feel them.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't have to hurt you or anybody else. That's why, you know, in the 70s, when we used to have therapy groups and used to beat the crap out of pillows and get a bataka and beat pillows and yell and scream and do all kinds of, that was great, right? Because it got the feeling out. And then I was able to see the situation a little bit better without being blinded by the anger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so sometimes we are asked to feel it. I remember this was years ago. I was doing a lot of talks in AA meetings a number of years ago. And I remember a friend of mine in Al-Anon called me up and said, I really enjoy the talks you give. Next time you're going to give a talk, give me a call. Let me know when you're talking. I said, okay. Well, it was kind of immediate. I got called. Somebody wanted me to talk that evening. I said, okay. So I called my friend up in Al-Anon and said, you know, I'm going to be talking tonight at such and such church. She said, oh. She said, I can't go. She said, you know, I promised myself an hour of self-pity, right? And I'm not finished yet.
On a pity pot.
I said, how beautiful is that? All right. I'm gonna feel my feeling and then I'm gonna let go of it, right? But I need to feel it to the depths of my being, or else it's not gonna be finished and it's gonna keep eating my lunch. I promised myself an hour of self-pity and I'm not finished yet. But if we were to take any emotion, anger, fear, resentment, especially a negative one, right? And say, I'm gonna feel that in my being for 3, 4, 5 minutes. You're going to find how difficult that is to kind of keep your attention. Your mind's going to wander off. Feel it to the depths of your being and know that I am feeling it to heal it and to let it go.
Mm-hmm. Jerry,
mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say something real quick about doing something for another person. And I no longer choose to call my abuser an abuser.
Good.
Today I choose to call him my dad. He's my father.
Okay.
And that's unconditional love. And I want to see him with unconditional love. And that has allowed me to walk the path of joy.
Right. Because you change your whole identification with that person. I redefined the relationship.
Exactly. I did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I could get into another paragraph. I don't think I'm going to do that yet. So I think we'll take some time to do our meditation together. You can close your eyes if you like. I get a real sense this morning of healing. Whether we wanted to find that or not, doesn't matter a whole lot. Healing. Healing sometimes is the release of something. Sometimes it is the holding of it in a different way. Sometimes it is filling up a space that has been empty or painful. I'd just like you to take in the energy of these words. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to score points. Just take in the energy. On this day, I choose to know myself as the Infinite Spirit. On this day, I choose to align myself to my true knowing of my true nature. And as I do this, I align every aspect of my life to align to me as a reflection of this. And the room I sit in, the landscape I see before me, will now become the reflection of who I truly am. And the choices that I will make will be to align this room, this landscape, this life that I exist in, into an agreement with my divine nature. And with means in consort with, in alignment with. And as I choose this, I give deep thanks for the heritage I hold, my dispensation of choice, and my alignment to the Christ itself, who may say, yes, I am here. I claim this in authority as I know my divine birthright. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. I love you with an everlasting love. And I love you with an everlasting love because that is who you are. And this morning especially, I hold you in the light of healing, of grace, of transformation, of being able to perceive all things as being new, especially yourselves. To breathe deeply into the truth of that. Stretch a bit when you're ready.
Thank you for today, Jerry. I found joy and healing.
Me too. By the way, just to give you all an update, we're still planning on moving sometime probably towards the end of this month. And so there might be an interim time. I don't know this for sure, so kind of keep aware. There might be an interim time when we are doing this class just on Zoom rather than in person. Depends on where we're going to land and when we're going to land. So I want to keep everybody apprised of that. We will not, as we said earlier this morning, we're not going to leave you alone, but we might not be meeting in a physical place for a week or so, just to let you know that. Okay.
Works for me, Jerry.
Yep. As long as we keep getting together.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great week.
Thank you, Jerry, and everyone.
Take good care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Betsy.
Bye.